You're listening to the Empowered Caregiver Show, where we uplift caregivers through education and support while also lifting up their invaluable role in society. I'm Liza.
And I'm Kristen, and together we are the Empowered Caregivers. Today we're here with Harriet Redmond and her daughter Christiana from Wisconsin SIBS, an organization for sisters and brothers of people with disabilities. Wisconsin SIBS, I have to get practice with Harriet. Am I supposed to say Wisconsin SIBS or just Wisconsin SIBS? Wisconsin SIBS, she's giving me the signal. Okay, Wisconsin SIBS has been around for over 20 years and was started by Harriet in the Fox Valley region. Christiana was the inspiration for Harriet to start the group that grew into Wisconsin SIBS and is now an adult sibling and works as a social worker. Over the years, they've served hundreds of families and thousands of children. Today, as Wisconsin SIBS, it continues to offer peer support, education, social activities, and leadership opportunities to children, teens, and adults who have siblings with special needs or long-term illnesses. We were fortunate enough to shadow Harriet at one of her day events and were blown away by her talented blend of professionalism and compassion. We feel very lucky to have you both here today to hear more about your journey and advice you have for our listeners. Let's start with each of you introducing yourself and explaining your role as a caregiver first, please.
Sure. Well, thanks for having us. I'm Harriet, and I'll go first. I'm a mother of two children, the younger of which has a disability, and his older sister, who's with me today. So basically, I've been a caregiver for well over 30 years for our son. And when he was born, that was what inspired me to consider the needs of siblings, which I have come to appreciate are valuable caregivers throughout their whole lives.
This is very true. How about you, Christiana?
I'm Christiana, and I recently moved back to Wisconsin from having lived in Indiana for about 10 years. And I am a licensed clinical social worker and also have a young daughter who I'm currently staying home with. And one of the reasons that I was sure to move back to the area where my parents live is simply because I want to be a more involved caregiver with my brother. He doesn't speak. He doesn't use words to communicate. So it's very difficult to stay connected with him when I am far away. And I wanted to be sure to be back so that I can provide the best care for him going forward in the future, both to give my parents some relief every so often, but also knowing that I want to be involved in decision making for him in the future when, that the need arises for that.
And Christiana, when do you remember getting involved in the organization and what is your role today?
I started in Wisconsin SIBS when it was first coming, coming around when my mom and some colleagues developed the organization. I think I was about 7 years mm-hmm. old and started attending their workshops for siblings called SIB Shops. And so for the most part, I don't remember life without it, which is a wonderful blessing. And now I have had all kinds of roles, in the last couple of decades, from participant to camp counselor to what I'm doing now is kind of an interim youth coordinator position.
That's wonderful. That would be so great growing up in that environment and having that support.
Absolutely.
Yeah, definitely.
Harriet, what led to your development of Wisconsin SIBS?
Well, as I mentioned, having two children and the younger of which has disabilities, and that was in 1992 when he was born and we first learned that he had disabilities. So my background educationally is I am a family educator. I have my master's degree in family system theory and education. And also just intuitively that as we were getting his diagnosis, I was beginning to quickly put together this was going to have an impact on our family. And I was I was especially interested in how it was going to have an impact on his older sister, who Christiana was 3 at the time. And so I started digging in, doing some research, and I really found nothing. I didn't find research. I didn't find programs. I hardly found anything to read about either siblings as they're growing up with someone with a disability, or from a parenting perspective, how do you parent a child with a disability and their able-bodied sibling? So I didn't give up. I kept asking questions, and I do remind my younger audiences that this was 1992, 93. So there was no Google. This right. was the old-fashioned way of figuring it out and just writing a lot of letters, making a lot of phone calls, doing a lot of research. Eventually learned about SibShop, which had been designed by a man in Seattle with Children's Hospital there named Don Meyer. And I found a book that he had produced, and that kind of sparked, finally, I found something based on research that got us going with the SibShop program. And by the us, I mean myself and a couple of school psychologists and some other volunteers that wanted to see something available for people who had siblings with disabilities. So that got it all started. And then as we went along, we determined, you know, a business plan would probably be a good idea if we wanted to continue this this habit of offering SibShop. And then we got to thinking of other programming that really would address the needs of siblings, which is a lifelong journey that starts when there's a diagnosis.
Yeah, I think what's really interesting is that you've really done a nice job of following Christiana's trajectory, right? And so, yes. I mean, it might not always been attached to her, but you now have stuff for preschool kids, school-aged kids, teenagers, and adults. And I just think that's great. I want you to get into some of those offerings and some specifics, but I think Liza might have a question first.
Well, I was just saying, and that just kind of goes back to the whole Christiana, how fortunate she was to grow up in this environment. But I was thinking about Harriet and what an undertaking to take when you were just dealing with the diagnosis of your son. I remember those days when my son was just diagnosed with autism, and I had a younger son as well. And I was kind of at that point, like, who's he? And my husband's like, he's also your son, you know? So just hats off to you for such a big undertaking at that time in your life.
Definitely. So can you tell us? Oh, go ahead. Sorry.
I was going to say, in one regard, it wasn't as big as it might be, because our son has a very rare chromosomal abnormality, so there's very little to learn about him because there's just nothing written. And to my surprise, there was very little written or researched about siblings. So I didn't have an insurmountable task of finding all this stuff. It didn't exist.
Sure,
so
sure.
And that is relief.
Right. Well, and you don't have the medical background, right? So you're not going to go find the cure for the chromosomal abnormality at this point.
Oh.
And so it's great that you then took that energy, though, and that compassion and putting it towards the SIB piece. So, yeah, give us a few more details before we have to go to break about what does it mean to be at a SIB shop, and what are some of these other programs that you guys have?
Sure. Well, first of all, SIB shop, it remains our flagship program, and we make it available to children ages 6 to 12. And it's just what it sounds like. It's a workshop for siblings. Its number one goal is to help them understand that they're not alone, that there are other kids that are also growing up with disabilities. It's not their own disability, but they're growing up with their brother or sister with autism or Down syndrome, cerebral palsy, or a whole cadre of other disabilities, and I would say even not the majority, but a good share of them have brothers and sisters that don't have a diagnosis. So that is a very baseline program that we offer, and then we've expanded that by adding programs in the summer. SIB Days of Summer is our day camp kind of program for ages 6 to 12. Then we have a SIB Camp, which is more of a residential. They get to go camping overnight for 4 days, 3 nights.
Oh, fun.
And some of those are in Door County. Some of those are in Devil's Lake. And we anticipate expanding that next year because there's always a waiting list for those kinds of opportunities. Team leadership. We learned, we played around with different things that teens could get involved in. And what we found has been successful is getting them involved in leadership. They are natural leaders just by the fact that they have grown up with a sibling with a disability. They have learned so many things right at home. And so we just help them build on that, provide them some training, and then a bunch of opportunities to be leaders within Wisconsin's, but we also try to connect them with other opportunities to really exercise those leadership skills that they so naturally have and then are so willing to offer other siblings and other people in the community. And finally, although this we didn't do this exactly in order, adult siblings. Early on, we did focus groups to find out what adult siblings needed and wanted. And they were really telling us there was a couple things. One, they wanted opportunities to make memories and have great opportunities to have fun with their brothers and sisters. So social programs where their brothers and sisters could be involved was a priority. And then the other was help with future planning. And especially as that may build on what their parents had started, finding out how the next chapter would look.
So many amazing opportunities and offerings. And there's a few more that I want to learn about after this short break. We'll be back with you soon. Listening to the Empowered Caregiver Show. I'm Liza and I'm here with my co-host Kristen, and we've been speaking with Harriet Redman and her daughter Christiana from Wisconsin's, an organization that supports siblings that have siblings with disabilities. And we were talking and highlighting some of the offerings that you have before we went into commercial break. And I just wanted to follow up with that because there's so many great things that you do. I didn't want to leave anything out. Can you tell us a little bit about the SIB Choice Awards? And then I saw you have SIB SACS, and then also the coaching and training that you do.
Sure. Well, the Siblings Choice Award was another thing that came out of our research into what the adult siblings needed. One of the things that they value and is a top priority for them is the quality of care that their brothers and sisters get. And they often feel they don't have any way of leveraging that or any way of rewarding caregivers. And they were very concerned that the quality of care for their brothers and sisters is hard to sustain throughout the long term. So one of the things that we introduced was the Siblings Choice Award. And that simply gives siblings the opportunity to acknowledge and recognize caregivers who are providing quality care for their brothers and sisters. We offer a paid caregiver category, and we offer a family caregiver category. And it's been amazing to me. It's not only adult siblings that have participated in that, but also children have participated in that and nominated paid caregivers, but also nominated their parents occasionally as they're heroes in caregiving. So that is an award we provide or we make available every year. And then you mentioned on the other end of the spectrum, the SIBSAC. As we've been doing this for 25 years, one of the things that I've been thrilled about is I hear more and more from younger parents who are curious how they can help their young children, their young sibling children who are growing up with a sibling with a disability. And I'm thrilled about that, but we didn't have anything to offer them. So we developed the SIBSAC program, and that is simply exactly what it sounds like. It is a bag full of materials for young children, ages 3 to 5, an activity book, story books, and so on, plus a parent guide to help foster a dialogue between parents and children at that very young age to really open that communication between parents and children. That's so critical. And we've learned that from our adult siblings as well, that communication is lifelong, and it starts very young. So it is free at this point because we have a number of grants that we've gotten. Any parent can get a SIBSAC if they have a child ages 3 to 5 by going to our website, and it's right on the front page. They can just click and order a SIBSAC.
You want to say your website for us, please?
Sure. It's WisconSibs. So that's spelled WisConSibs.org.
Okay. I'm going to get one ordered for my 5-year-old niece because she's struggling with her older sister. And she keeps asking my sister, how come Emma's so mean to me? You know, and it's because she doesn't understand Emma's autism and her anxiety. So I love it. I'm so excited. I want to go back, though, on a selfish note to talking about the neurotypical kids that are in that teen stage, right? I think one of the most unique features about you is that you focus solely on the siblings, and we need that. And so both Liza and I have neurotypical kids that are teenagers, and many of our peers do because you kind of stick around with people who've got kids the same age as yours. Mm-hmm. And we're seeing a lot of the negative stuff, right? The I'm avoiding my sibling that has a disability. I'm embarrassed by him or her. I'm angry. I'm mean. Can you share, either one of you or both of you, can you share how your programming addresses these particular changes in attitudes and actions, particularly during the teen years?
I'll start.
Okay.
Christiana can chime in.
Yeah.
First of all, leading up to the teens are the SIBSHOP programs. And, you know, whether they're preteen or they're teens, knowing they're not alone is critical. It's so helpful. And we as parents and as fellow caregivers, we sense that when we are with other parents or we're among other caregivers and we have that chance to really share without being judged and everybody gets it, that is a huge part of feeling comfortable and reframing their perspective, reframing their role as a sibling. SIBSHOP's leading up to that, I think, helps teens.
Sure.
But teens also need to be reminded that, you know, siblings are siblings, whether they have a disability or not. You're going to fight. You're going to, you know, they're going to have at it occasionally. But those relationships are important. They may be your only sibling. It's a matter of celebrating that unique role and giving siblings, teenagers, an opportunity to voice their opinion, to be heard and be recognized and be appreciated. That's a real key in anything, whether we're parenting or we're offering programs.
Yeah, definitely. Christiana, any insight on the teens particularly, having not been there maybe last year or so, but more recently than any of us?
Yeah. One of the things that was so critical for me was just the opportunity to say yes and say no to participating in things with my brother. I had the privilege of having roles and identities outside of being my brother's sister. And so having my own things and my parents making concerted efforts to attend those, you know, events. I did a lot of performing when I was a teenager, and so they made sure to work it out that they could come. And those kinds of things made me feel like I was seen and valued for my own contribution outside of the contribution that I could make to my family directly.
Of course.
Yeah, and I know that takes an effort for parents to do. Whether you call it respite or a break or just finding a way to take time out for your other kids, mm-hmm. and being involved in their world, that is absolutely critical.
I see on your website that you have a great section about your mission, vision, and values. Can you speak a little bit to those?
Sure. Well, our mission is to foster a community of support and understanding for brothers and sisters with disabilities and special needs. That is to imply that siblings are number one to us. They don't often get that position. They don't often have that position in a family, but it's important. We want them to be recognized and celebrated. And so our values really are along the lines of choice, respect, and recognition of their roles as important people in the lives of people with disabilities.
Great. Well, I really appreciate hearing that. And when we come back, we're going to ask you a few more questions, Christiana. So we'll be right back after this short break.
You're listening to the Empowered Caregiver Show. I'm Liza, and I'm here with my co-host, Kristen, and we've been talking with Harriet Redman and Christiana from Wisconsin. In this section, we like to ask our guest what's called powerful questions. These are the ones that lead you to go inwards and reflect on your own personal values and experiences. For Harriet, I have one for you. What are you most proud of in terms of your caregiving journey and your work with Wisconsin's?
Well, I probably don't have an event or a moment in particular to share with you, but I think what's been so valuable, and as I think back on it, I would say I'm proud of it, is that I did the research and I did the, I dug into what I could find. And I find more and more external information, but I also dug into myself and what I valued. And those two kind of reach hand in hand. But I think for my role as a caregiver and my philosophy and value in developing Wisconsin's, it was to really anticipate and respect choice. And if there was ever a moment that I could say it just galvanized, it was when Christiana was little. I mean, she was 7 and her little brother was 4. And we were in the front yard, and many people have heard me tell this story, but it was such a deliberate moment. She looked me straight in the eye while we're playing a little game, and she's busy with her brother, helping him play this little soccer game. But she stopped, and she looked at me straight in the eye, and she said, "Mommy, when you and Daddy die, am I taking care of Philip?"
Wow.
And while I had been appreciating the role of siblings as I read material, that was a moment that I thought, yes, this is really important, because small children have these questions. And I was prepared to answer her. And my answer was, I said, "Your daddy and I are making plans so that you always have a choice." Mm. And I think that moment that I had the opportunity to express that really galvanized my philosophy and statement about the way I look at caregiving and the way I look at the role of siblings, is that self-determination is critical for anyone, our children with disabilities, but also our sibling children. Their self-determination is just as important as it is with each and every one of us.
Harriet, I
think that has really stretched my thinking.
Yes, and I think that is something you should be really proud of, you know, that you, I love that you've done all the research. And I think that in that, though, you've stayed authentic to yourself and true to what you're seeing in your own family. All right, Christiana, I think what everyone's got to be wondering right now is, has the organization done what you needed it to do?
Absolutely. Growing up with the resources that Wisconsin has given me, both material resources, information, methods of getting what is needed for myself and my brother, But then also just the social support of knowing that there's other people my age, other people younger than me, other people older than me, other people who have siblings that are similar to my brother, other people who have very different siblings and with different needs, just has given me so much confidence and validation and understanding that this is, you know, a life that none of us ever would have guessed we would be living, but I wouldn't, you know, it's, there are so many joys and so many challenges that I wouldn't change it at all. And so to also have lived elsewhere now with this Wisconsin, serves Wisconsin, having lived other places where they don't have Wisconsin's, I've just been so grateful to have remained connected with it while I was living out of state, and to, you know, kind of come back home to both my family and Wisconsin's has been a really great joy for me as well.
Very cool. I also think what's cool is when I was on your website, an excellent point that Wisconsin's makes is that more than ever, siblings have a critical role in the quality of life of their vulnerable siblings. Can you explain what is meant by this and how you've experienced it personally?
Sure. More often than not, siblings have the longest relationship with their brother or sister with a disability than anybody, longer than their parents and longer than other extended family members or other friends that might be involved at any point. And our siblings with disabilities are living longer as well. So to have a lifelong relationship with our siblings with disabilities means that we need more support for longer to care for them, and they need more support for longer from us. And so to have the resources available for siblings to improve their lives as well as support the lives of their brothers and sisters, it's, you know, the essential component to a healthy relationship and balancing it all.
Yeah, and a healthier community. Right? I mean,
yes,
it's you guys that are going to really help be advocates. I mean, parents are to some degree, but I think it's just really poignant how you recognize that you're going to have the longest relationship because hopefully, right, that you guys will outlive the parents. I mean, that's the way we want the story to go. And so then that does mean that you have a real interesting perspective on it all. Go ahead.
I was going to say, one of the challenges for kind of my generation in particular is we are looking at caring for our aging parents, caring for our own children, and caring for our siblings. So to know that I have other people who maybe they don't completely, you know, they're not in my shoes, but they get it because they're dealing with the same thing, to be able to bounce ideas off of them or sometimes commiserate with them.
Sure.
It is such an essential component of mental health for siblings my age, I would say.
And I'll just add one thing to that. Helping siblings understand that sibling relationships, whether they have a brother or sister with a disability or not, is a very dynamic relationship. Sometimes it's very close, physically and emotionally, and sometimes it's very distant. And giving siblings that permission to have a time where they need to figure things out, you know, that time between high school and 30, mm-hmm. In their 20s, they're figuring out a lot of things. And sometimes we don't see them much during that time. But when they hit 30, they do start thinking about, I wonder what is going to happen when my parents are not capable of caring or managing or interested in doing that. So it is a dynamic. It goes up and down. And no one should feel badly if they have moments of great joy and also moments of overwhelming challenge. That's the way it goes.
Yep.
Harriet, I have one question that I actually really want to ask both of you, but I just want to pause real quick and clarify for the listeners. I know that you're located in the Appleton area, and I just want to get out there for our listeners that may be in different parts of the state, you know, how they can connect with you and how you're able to serve this state.
Sure. We are, our headquarters are in Appleton, but we are doing programs throughout the state. We're not everywhere all the time, but we do some conferences. So we do SIP shops at conferences. Anyone is open to participate in anything that we offer. So we have a lot of kids that come to SIP camp from all over the state. And they can get in touch with us by either going to our website at wisconsibs.org, or they can simply email us at info@wisconsibs.org.
Okay, and for some of the older siblings that may go on and move to other places, are you able to still support them if they're out of state? Because I think that the work that you do for adults is just crucial and so amazing for them to understand what's going on and what they would need to do.
Of course. Well, part of it, the answer to your question is yes. And part of it is in the definition of WisconSibs. So WisconSibs is the name of the organization, but it's also what we regard siblings who are growing up or have brothers and sisters with disabilities. Christiana is a WisconSib. I, on the other hand, I'm a WisconSib fan. Her brother is a WisconSib fan.
Sure.
Once a WisconSib, you're always a WisconSib, no matter where you go. So they're always welcome to check in with us. And I do a fair amount of conversations with siblings over the phone, via email. Sometimes it's just a check-in. Sometimes it's to connect them with other siblings or to connect them with information that they need. Sometimes WisconSibs have helped start organizations in other states. A number of years ago, we helped start a national organization, and it's growing by state. So we can help them find their state chapter or start a state chapter if they're interested in doing that. There's also a number of online connections that we can lead them to, Facebook groups and so on, that we're happy to get them involved in that kind of connection as well.
And I know everyone is kind of zoomed out these days, but do you have any offerings via Zoom, or was that only because of pandemic, or what's your stand on that?
Oh, we have done more and more Zoom. Yes. The pandemic kind of launched us into that, but we've done SIP shops by Zoom. We've done camps by Zoom. We've done meetings with siblings by Zoom. So yes, indeed, we are both virtual and in person.
Look at you guys keeping up with the times. I'm so impressed. So we're going to have one more segment, and we'll be right back with Harriet and Christiana to finish out our show.
Listening to the Empowered Caregiver Show, where we uplift caregivers through education and support while also lifting up their invaluable role in society. I'm Liza, and I'm here with my co-host Kristen, and we are talking to Harriet Redmond and her daughter Christiana from WisconSibs. And I went a little off topic before the commercial break, and so I wanted to ask you the question that we ask everyone every week, and that is, what are three messages you would want to tell all caregivers?
I love that question. And narrowing it down to three is challenging, but I'm going to put this in the context of siblings as caregivers and recognize that siblings are caregivers, and it doesn't matter their age, because even young children are caregivers of their brothers and sisters. So they look out after them, and they have perspectives. So that's my number one, is siblings have a unique perspective, and they're unique but valuable. And we should listen as parents, caregiving. We need to listen to our children who are right there on the floor with our brothers or with our children with disabilities. So recognizing and appreciating the value that siblings have from their perspective. Another is, and I usually get on a soapbox big time on this one, respite is critical.
Yes.
Caregivers, I know sometimes it's 20 pages of paperwork you have to finish in order to get a little time off, but do it. It is absolutely critical. It is absolutely critical that you spend time with your children, your sibling children, on their own, so that they get a chance to see you in an environment where you're not stressed out by the demands of children with disabilities, because they're demanding. All of our kids are demanding, but they need to spend time with you, and they will cherish that. I think you heard Christiana say that, get respite. And the third is, as I mentioned before, relationships are ever changing. Appreciation goes a long way. Appreciation for the caregiver, but appreciation by the caregiver goes a long way in keeping those relationships honest, keeping them healthy, and they will change. But in the end, a healthy relationship benefits everyone, the caregiver, the care receiver, the community, appreciation, and being kind.
Mm. I love that. How about you, Christiana?
For me, and from the siblings' perspective more directly, the biggest thing for me that I would like to communicate to caregivers is simply acknowledging and respecting that the sibling relationship is different. And some days are great, some days are not so great. Some moments are great, some moments are not so great. And respecting that we may not always get along, and you know, it's not always a rosy picture. We have our own feelings about things and opinions on how things should be, and sometimes that's an added challenge for our parents. We know that, but you know, we have a stake in the game too, as far as how we want to look out for our siblings. And then second would be allowing and encouraging your children without the disability to identify and pursue some of their own activities or roles outside of family caregiving. And then finally, to just always give them the choice, whether it's a choice to babysit or to not babysit on a certain night, or to be involved long-term, or be lovingly supportive from afar. There's so much power in wanting to choose. So my mom mentioned earlier that my family has always given me the choice, and I would never choose to not be involved. It's something that it's clearer for me how much I want to be involved because I had the choice to not be, and I can't imagine walking away from that.
Makes total sense. We know that you guys have had a lot of success and creativity with your fundraisers. And so can you tell us a little bit about those, and especially if there's one coming up that you'd like to promote?
Sure. Well, with fundraisers and a small organization, I've really had to mix money and mission. So I love to have fundraisers which really promote our mission and get people involved who are involved in our mission while we're raising money. So we've done something called Celebrate Sisterhood for 15 years. And it is to help acknowledge that being a sister is a pretty cool position.
It's
also a very challenging position. And in the research, it does bear out that girls have a more negative experience than boys when they have a sibling with a disability. And that gets into a lot of things, isolation and depression, and it's a lifelong challenge. So recognizing sisters has been a joy in raising money for the organization, as well as acknowledging that role of sisterhood. And we also did we started out doing a casino night, which was our way of saying, hey, you can all come, whether you have a disability or not, because everybody can play these games. And when we started offering that as a program, we learned that we were making money. And then it became a fundraiser as well as a great social night. So those are two events that I'm proud of. And then we have one coming up to celebrate our 25th anniversary. We don't have a date in place yet, but you can look up for it on our website in November and December.
Harriet, I saw the information about your fundraisers on your website, and I really think you guys put the fun in fundraiser. they look amazing. And then I know we had mentioned during break, and I want to make sure that the listeners hear too, that you have one opportunity in Green Bay coming up for Sib Shop. Can you just tell the listeners a little bit about that in case they want to get in on it?
Sure. Yes, we do have a few slots available. It's a we're calling it Wisconsin's in the zoo or at the zoo. And there will be a mini Sib Shop as part of that. It's on September 10th. People can register on our website, go to our calendar page and register on that website. The sibling can attend Sib Shop and their family. The whole family can come and enjoy a day at the zoo.
Love it. Thank you so much. Well, I can't say that I'm going to make the September 10th event, but I just really have appreciated this conversation and look forward to having you guys back again in the future. Christiana, we really appreciate getting the perspective of the sibling, as well as Harriet, all of the phenomenal work you've done with this organization. Thank you so much for taking time with us today.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
So we have some exciting news that we want to announce before we finish up here. Starting on September 1st, we will be going live Thursday nights from 7 to 8 p.m.
What?
I know, right?
No, it's exciting.
It is. It's going to be exciting.
Because it means that we can open up the phones,
right,
and we can have listeners participate. We can have the community join in our conversations. I'm excited.
Yes, I am too. I will get rid of my stage fright
before then. Oh, I'm nervous too.
Yeah. But anyways, if you can't catch us live starting September 1st, you can always find the replays on the Civic Media app, which you can download on any app store, or you can go to our website, which is empoweredcaregivercommunity.com.
Yep. And so we'll be changing the format for some of our shows. Next week, we're going to be having a conversation just among the two of us about some great article that we want to share with our community. And then soon we have Barry Jacobs joining us, who's been a licensed psychotherapist and has worked a lot with the AARP.
Yeah.
I was like, am I going to say it right? ARP.
Right. ARP,
exactly.
Yes, working with the ARP. Yeah.
So what was your greatest takeaway from this episode, Liza?
Oh, there's so much. I think for me is really just the amazing work that they do and the idea that they have thought this through, toddler to adult.
Yeah.
And, you know, I wish I could push the rewind button for my son so he could get that. You know, could have gotten that.
But didn't
support.
Karsten go to one of their camps?
He did go to their camp in Door County. And I will say I've lived in Wisconsin my whole life. I never had been to Door County. So I was thrilled to hear that there was a camp in Door County. And I thought, well, there's no reason to drive all the way from Madison to Door County and back. Yeah. I better just stay up there.
Exactly.
Then he started to age out. And I thought, gosh, can we make this kid look 12? I don't know. He's 6'4", but I really want to keep going to Door County. So my husband and I had started the annual tradition of going to Door County once a year, thanks to Wisconsin.
Exactly. Just the two of you.
Just the two of us.
Exactly.
Huge respite.
Yep.
And every time we go up there, I always think and appreciate about the wonderful experiences that my son has and just Wisconsin. So Wisconsin plus Door County just has a huge place in my heart.
Yep, exactly. Well, it's been a great opportunity to hear from these folks. And we know that caregiving can be overwhelming and exhausting. So that's why we want to end each show with a positive note. You got this, folks. And together we are stronger. So stay connected to the Empowered Caregiver community. Have a good one.